grace, mercy, peace, joy. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We live in an age that enjoys putting labels on days, in weeks and months and years. We have, for example, Mother's Day, National Safety Week. We recently had National Pickle Month, and I imagine you celebrated that with wild abandon. And we even had a whole bicentennial year. In fact, we've extended beyond that to naming whole centuries. The Age of Reason, the Machine Age. What shall we call this present century? Remember that the name should reflect the chief characteristic of the age. Some names have been suggested: the nuclear age, the age of computers. One sociologist recently suggested, observing public manners and dress, the age of ugliness. But considering that we have had in this century two great wars, and everyone has lost count of the lesser wars, and we have the threat of a third war in which it is said that 200 million will die in the first 30 seconds, considering these things, people are beginning to call this the age of crisis. But the crisis of this age is not as simplistic as some people would make it. It's not merely a struggle between communism and democracy over whether the world shall be enslaved or free. The battle in the crisis of this age is between the senses and the spirit. And that's what Proverbs 16 is talking about. It's a battle between the kind of thinking that says only what we can see and taste and smell and hear and feel is of any value and worth striving for, and the kind of thinking that says worth every effort are integrity, truth, honor, and things of the spirit. Proverbs 16, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. The choice that we face individually and collectively is whether we would live in a pigsty or a palace, whether we shall grovel in the mud to get more than the next fellow of dollars, sex, and easy living, or whether we shall aspire to be the crown of God's creation as he intended us to be, and which he still makes possible. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. But the sobering truth is that what pays off in popularity and power and cash is sought after much more eagerly than that which is of eternal significance. And that's the crisis of our age. Now, is there no hope for man? Must we stand by while millions of people are being destroyed by the most vicious flood of anti-God propaganda that has ever been loosed on the world? Must we be passive witnesses, victims, if you will, of the merchants of immorality, of panderers in public office, of profiteers from pornography that are destroying millions of souls and which Proverbs 16 tells us are an abomination unto the Lord? Is there no way that we can stem the tide of filth that engulfs us? There is a way, but it's called revolution. I'm not talking about the kind of revolution in which you fling a broken bottle at a policeman, or buy a sniper's rifle, or firebomb a public building, or get your courage out of a bottle, or a capsule, or a hypodermic needle, or a funny cigarette. But the kind of revolution that God himself called for in the days of Ezekiel, when he said, I have sought for a man that will make up the hedge, that shall stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy the land. and found none. But today is the golden moment for you and for me. And it is our golden opportunity to say, Lord, send me. Let the revolution begin with me. Armed with the Word of God, you and I have been called to proclaim to this world, in which few people can answer, what is the purpose of life? To proclaim that man is not an animal, to be satisfied at any price, that there is such a thing as sin, and that sin destroys both temporally and eternally. But God. And just to divert for a moment, have you ever made a study of those words, but God, as they appear in Scripture? It's really quite a word study. But God. But God cares. But God cares enough to have entered into our existence. Cares enough to have taken our shame upon himself, and from the cross to have proclaimed the forgiveness that makes men free to be his children, new creatures. Now a revolution must begin somewhere, and it must begin with you and with me, empowered by the love of God in Jesus Christ. For God gives you and me daily opportunities to say no to that which does not glorify his name, and to say yes to everything that attests the power of God to change lives. And it must begin with you and with me before we even attempt to proclaim the grace of God to anyone else. Our high calling in Jesus Christ does not make us exempt from the temptations of Satan that come to us in a thousand ways. Let me read to you a truly revolutionary passage from Scripture. It's the kind of passage that can be the beginning point for turning the world upside down. Paul writes it in his letter to the Philippians. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And brothers and sisters, in the battle of the senses against the spirit, that is revolutionary talk. And it's tailor-made for the crisis of our age. If you're not finding the excitement in your days that you have hoped to find, this is the formula to make every day a pleasant surprise. Every day a challenge, a day of discovery, in which you can experiment in various situations and communications with people in applying the grace of God to your life. You can experiment, you can implement, you can apply, you can express, and it can make your days exciting in your interaction with people. And then you can witness to others of the grace of God that is there for them also. Proverbs 16, commit your work unto the Lord, and your plans will be established. Thus saith the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.